Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
Again, we welcome you on this third Sunday of Advent. You might have noticed that on the third Sunday of Advent, we light a pink candle, not the traditional purple candles of the other three Sundays. That's to represent that today is Gaudet Sunday. That means it's the Sunday of joy, where we remember that we find our joy in Jesus Christ. And that's the meaning of the pink candle today. And so I hope today that you hear and experience some of the joy of Christ in our service through the children or the hymns or hearing now from Isaiah today. One additional thing I'd like to encourage you about is Christmas Eve, next Sunday. There are people all around you who are waiting for an invitation to a Christmas Eve service. Maybe that's a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. And so I would encourage you this week to invite someone around you to be a part of our Christmas Eve services. If you've ever been at one of our candlelight services, you know the joy that we experience in that service. And so spread that joy. Find someone to invite. We have three services, and the reason that we have three services in the afternoon is because we want to make sure we have seats and a place for everyone. So invite someone to share that joy with us next week. Today we continue our look at Isaiah as we've been moving through the writings of Isaiah during our series, In the Waiting. And we look at a great announcement that Isaiah makes today. So let's pray as we look at that together. God, we thank you for this season of waiting. We thank you for the reminders each week of your hope and your peace and your joy and your love. May we discover that as we move closer and closer to the birth of Christ. God, feed us now through your word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what it is on this day that you would have us receive. Through the words of this ancient prophet. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. It all started as an innocent discovery on our part. My brother, my sister, and I, we were wrapping Christmas presents a long time ago. And one of the things we noticed as we were wrapping Christmas presents using the same Christmas paper and the same tape that my mother used is that the tape on this wrapping paper, the tape could be removed without tearing the paper or leaving a mark of any kind whatsoever. It took us a few minutes, we were slow, to realize the immensity of this discovery. But then it hit us that we could unwrap every present and wrap them all back without our parents ever knowing. Now I know that a lot of you, as 8 and 10 year olds, you had a lot of moral courage and a lot of moral fiber, and you could resist temptation, right? We couldn't. So what we did is one afternoon when my parents were gone, my brother and sister and I stood before the Christmas tree and we made a deal. We made a deal that we would only unwrap and rewrap one present. That was it. So we carefully chose, we unwrapped, looked inside, we laughed with each other, wrapped it back up, put it back under the tree. Now, you would think that kind of discovery would bring me great joy, right? I mean, we had cracked the code. We had beaten Christmas. We had somehow fooled our parents, right? But as Christmas got closer, what I found was a lot of the joy of Christmas had disappeared from me. Every time I passed the Christmas tree, all I felt was shame and guilt over what I had done. On Christmas morning, when I opened that present, I couldn't enjoy that present because I knew that I had done something that I was not supposed to do. I had somehow taken away some of the joy of Christmas from myself, right? It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't the Grinch. It wasn't anybody else who had done something to me. Instead, I had lost some of the joy of Christmas by my own hand. And here's what I found through the years after that. There's a lot of times in my life, if I'm honest, a lot of times I miss out on the joy of life, not because of what other people have done, but because of what I have done. And I wonder, I wonder if for you today, that's not true for you. That a lot of times in your life, you miss out on some of the joy of life, you miss out on some of the excitement of life because of what you've done, because of your own failures, because of your own mistakes, the ways that maybe you have hurt someone else, or maybe some of the ways that you have done something against God, what you know you are supposed to do. So often in life, we are our own worst enemy. So often in life, if we're willing to be honest, so often in life, the wounds that we have are often self-inflicted. And I think that's the reason why we need the story of the Israelites in Babylon. That's why we need the story of these people who are captives in a foreign land. Now, in the Old Testament, there are two stories, two times when the Israelites were captives in a foreign land. One of those times was when they were captives in Egypt. Remember that story? Everybody loves that story, right? Because if you remember it, the Israelites, they're hungry. They go to find food in Egypt. They live there for a long time. They multiply. Finally, there's this evil, mean Pharaoh who enslaves them, makes them build things, makes life very hard for them. And then what does God do? God raises someone up, sends Moses to them. He frees them. There are these plagues. There's a moment where God parts the Red Sea. And the people are free. They get to go to the Promised Land. They escape this evil Pharaoh. And we love that story. It's inspiring. The people get to be free. We make movies about that story. But nobody makes movies about the captivity of the Israelites in Babylon. Why is that? I think maybe for this reason. Because the reason that the Israelites were captives in Babylon wasn't because of some mean, evil, horrible ruler who had enslaved them. It was their own fault. They were there by their own hand because of the things that they had done. For years, really for generations, they had not done what God had called them to do. And because of that, they received the consequences of their actions. They were in Babylon as captives, as exiles, because of what they had done. For 70 years, they had to lie in the bed that they had made. That's their story. And I think a lot of times in life, it's not just their story, it's our story too, isn't it? It's our story. Because so often we do those things that steal joy, that steal life, that cause us to suffer, that cause others around us to suffer. Here are the things that we do. Sometimes we have a fight and we just can't let go, right? You just can't let go proving your point. Or maybe it's temptation. You give in to temptation over and over again. Or maybe it's the choice that you made against someone that you love, a specific choice. So often, we end up in places of exile, not because of what other people have done to us, but because of the choices that we've made. And sometimes that place of exile is a very visible place, right? Sometimes other people can see what we've done. They see the consequences that we're living. That's what happened to the Israelites in Babylon. We see that right now in our world as powerful men, primarily men, politicians and actors and celebrities are brought down by their own actions and are publicly shamed for what they've done. And so often that happens to us. We're part of the rumor mill. We're the grist for the rumor mill. Or maybe you see people and they know. You know that they know what you've done. And you have to live with that. Sometimes our exile is very public, but sometimes it's private, isn't it? Sometimes the only person that knows what we've done wrong is us. We know, or maybe one or two other people. And so you live with this great fear that one day someone else is going to find out. One day it's going to get out and other people know. What will they think if they find out about us? So often we live in exile, these places. And what Isaiah does here in chapter 40 is Isaiah speaks to people in exile. People who are in exile because of the things that they have done, what they have done to steal their own joy. And I want you to hear what Isaiah says to us when we're in those places of exile. Isaiah says this, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." God says it's over. God doesn't deny that the past has happened. God doesn't deny that the people have made their mistakes, that they have sinned. But God says it's over. A new journey is going to begin. You're going to get to experience joy again. This is the message of Isaiah in this moment in the history of Israel, that the journey gets to begin again. But before the journey can begin again, what Isaiah does is Isaiah deals with some obstacles, some things that stand between the people and God, so that they stand between them and their journey, between them and their joy. And I want us to think about some of these obstacles today. And maybe for you, where you are right now, maybe some of these obstacles are your obstacle. But stand between you and the journey God has for you, you and the joy that God has for you. The first obstacle that the people had to deal with was damage. The damage that they had caused. Here's what we know about the people of Israel. Because of their actions, their nation had been destroyed. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed. People's lives had been upended. People had died because of their actions. There was great damage. And what does God speak to that moment when they are living in the rubble of their lives? This is what God says. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Her penalty is paid. She's already paid double for all her sins. The offer here is forgiveness. God says, now there is a break. Now you have been forgiven. Yes, that has been, but that will no longer define your future. Now you are set free. And what God offers in forgiveness is healing. Healing for the damage. And here's what we need to know about the forgiveness that we're offered in these moments, is that there's no amount of damage that we have caused that can deny the healing that God begins with forgiveness. It will take decades for the Israelites to heal the damage, but it will happen for them. When we begin with God's forgiveness, the healing journey begins. The damage is undone. God meets the obstacle of damage with forgiveness. The next obstacle we find here that the people are experiencing is the obstacle of distance. They know that they're far from Israel. They're far from where the temple used to be, where they know God used to live. For them to go home is a long and hard journey through the wilderness, hundreds of miles back in that day. That journey probably would have taken them over a month to get from Babylon back to Jerusalem. But the distance was more than just mileage. The distance was also spiritual. For them, where they were after all that they had done against God, for them they had to wonder, how in the world will we ever get to experience God again? How will we bridge this distance between us and God? And so often when we find ourselves in places of exile, what happens is we feel so far from God. We feel that maybe God has abandoned us. Maybe you feel like it's been a long time since you've experienced the presence of God. How do we bridge that gap? This is what Isaiah says to the people. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What Isaiah says is you don't have to worry about making this hard journey. You don't have to worry about crawling back to God. God is going to make the way clear. God is going to reveal Himself. God is going to show Himself to you. And what this is grace. This is an act of grace of God. That every difficult mountain will be brought low, that their sorrows, the valleys of despair will be lifted up, and that there in their midst, they will experience the presence of God. And for us, for you, and for me, what this says to us is that we don't have to struggle We simply have to wait for God to be revealed to us. What the Israelites discovered is that God had been working long before this to bring them home. And I think what we discover in God's grace is that so often when we're in those places of exile, that if we're willing to open our eyes, if we're really willing to look around, what we find is that God has been working already in our midst so that the distance can be bridged by grace. Maybe for you, it's been in some of the conversations that you've had with other people. Maybe it's been in some of the opportunities that have been put in front of you. Maybe for you, it's simply the fact that you're here this morning on this cold, wet, rainy morning. Something got you up. Someone got you up and got you here. Maybe part of that is God reaching to you to offer grace to you to bridge the distance. The third obstacle I want us to look at, to think about today, is simply the obstacle of weakness. Here's what the Israelites knew in captivity in Babylon. They knew that they had failed God over and over again. And what they probably knew in this moment is that even if God brought them home, chances were pretty good that they were going to fail God again. And so I'm sure some of them began to wonder, why should we bother? Why should we bother if we're just going to fail again? Here's what Isaiah says about this. Isaiah says, look, all people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. The people knew that. They had seen that in their own lives. Every time they had tried to be what God called them to be, they failed. And maybe that's part of your story as well, that you've tried so many times to be what God called you to be. You've tried to break free. You've tried to speak words of encouragement. You've tried to break a pattern or an addiction. And yet you just find yourself in the same place again. And maybe you've come to the place, why try? Here's why we tried. This is Isaiah's hope for us who know our weakness and our frailty. Isaiah says this in verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Another translation says, the love of God will be constant. Even when we fail, God's love for us remains steadfast. We don't have to have the answers. We don't have to have the strength. We don't have to have the wisdom to figure things out. We simply have to rely on the strength of God again and again and again. Almost 20 years ago, probably a little over 20 years ago, I got to go to a workshop led by a guy named Brennan Manning. This was a couple years after he wrote his masterpiece, The Ragamuffin Gospel. And if you're still looking for a gift to buy somebody this week, buy them The Ragamuffin Gospel. You will be glad that you did. Brennan Manning told his life story in that workshop. And he said that he grew up in New York City. He joined the Marines, went to Korea, fought in the Korean War. When he got back from the Korean War, he was lost. Didn't know what to do with his life. He found himself in seminary. He ended up in seminary, became a Catholic priest, a Franciscan priest. And he spent years of his life living as a priest, helping people who needed help. He did some amazing things, reaching the poor, the least, the last, the lost. But the whole time, he was hiding a secret. He would help people. He would show them Jesus during the day. Then he would go back to his room at night and he would drink himself into oblivion. He lived with all of the shame that he was leading these two different lives for Jesus during the day and then this life of addiction at night. And finally, one day he said he literally, after going out drinking all night, he literally woke up in the gutter. He woke up on the side of a street. And in that moment, he cried out. He cried out to God to save him because he couldn't save himself and he couldn't keep up the act any longer. And he says in that moment, he discovered a grace and a love and a forgiveness that he had never experienced before from Jesus Christ. He found a God who came and met him there in his exile, a God who healed him, a God whose strength became his strength. And he wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel to help others understand the freedom of the grace of God. And this is what he writes at one point in that book. He says, "For those who feel their lives are a grave disappointment to God, it requires enormous trust and reckless, raging confidence to accept that the love of Jesus Christ knows no shadow of alteration or change." The love of Jesus Christ knows no shadow of alteration of change or change. What Brennan Manning is saying is exactly what Isaiah said so many thousands of years ago. Though we are like grass, the love of God is our constant. Just a verse after that, Isaiah says to the people, "Here is your God." Isaiah sums everything up for these people living in exile. Here is your God. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to doubt anymore. Here is your God who's going to bring you home because of his forgiveness and his grace and his strength. And at Christmas, in just 8 days from now, what we're going to celebrate is that here is our God come among us as a baby, to live among us, to love among us, to lead us finally out of exile into our home. Here's what Sam Wells, when he was dean of the Duke Chapel, said. He said, "Don't stay in exile anymore. That's not the place for you. God doesn't want you there. Here is your God speaking tenderly to you. There's a new journey for you, a journey of joy. And maybe for you on this day, it's time to begin that journey." Let's pray. God of forgiveness and grace and strength, come among us. Work in us. Free us from our exile, that we might know your joy again. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.